All right, let's get to business this morning. I had something else that I wanted to do today. I actually wanted to get back to this elusive Revelation series that I've been trying to do. But while I was thinking during the week, which I had already prepared this next set of teachings, on all the things that happened, and it came to my mind, you know, it says, speak ye comfortably to my people. Amen. Amen. You know, and well, I look over there. I don't see Sister Bola and the family. I wish they'd be here today to hear this, you know, because a lot of me was prepared with them on my heart, you know, and I was thinking about that and so forth like that, you know. But nonetheless, you know, for the church, too, and for the body of Christ, wherever they are, you know, we will bring this message and this comfortable tidings from the Lord. Now, lift up your heads and let's pray. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we thank you and love you this morning. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
In all things, the Bible says, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. And Lord, we've seen your love. We've seen your mercy. We've seen your goodness, even in the land of the living. And we give you the praise and give you the glory. The entrance of your word brings light. Let that light shine in our hearts this morning, giving us understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me speak. I've preached on a topic similar to this, and many times similar to this. You know, but today I want to speak on faith and providence. You know, so faith and providence, and you know, we've talked about this many, many times. You can search the website for similar messages and all that. You know, but I'm going to bring this from a different perspective today, and then I'm going to tell you something which you probably have never heard before. So let's get into the message. I'm going to start by reading a strange scripture here in the, well, it's not strange, but just because it's a little bit different, may not go directly, you might not think with the message, but let's find out. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Now we're talking about faith and providence. Now, faith, I mean, if anybody that has been in this church for any time at all, I mean, you know that we preach faith. We've preached it up and down, sideways, backwards, any way you want. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And Jesus said, when I come, shall I find faith? So, I mean, we've preached that subject of faith, and Enoch was translated by faith, and so on. So we've preached that subject. And we've also preached on the subject of providence. You know, what is faith? Everybody should by now know what is faith. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. In Hebrews 11 and 1, the evidence of things not yet seen. But what is providence? Well, providence is the, you know, act of God. You know, it's an act of God. And for us who are believers, you know, we want to say it's the unquestionable acts of God. You know, the way that he directs things in the affairs of man, the way that he rules in the universe, and the way that he brings things to pass and orders things after the counsel of his own will. You know, so, but let's take a look at this scripture here in the book of, let's start from, you know, verse 18, maybe in verse 19. Luke 7 and verse 19. Here's the story of John the Baptist. He was in prison. He heard, you know, some things about Jesus and so on. You know, so John in verse 19, calling unto him his two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, are thou he that should come, or should we look for another? So when the man came to Jesus, they repeated the question that John the Baptist had sent them. They said to Jesus, well, John sent us to ask you, are you the one that should come, or, you know, should we be looking for another? Well, instead of answering them right away, Jesus took upon himself to do some things to match the scriptures. You know, you would remember, you know, in the scriptures, at one time, in this same book, Luke chapter 4, he went into the temple and he took the book and found the place in Isaiah where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and so forth, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the sick and to open the eyes of the blind and do all of these things and so forth. And he said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. So when John the Baptist's disciples came, they asked Jesus, so he said, you know, before he said anything at all, in the same hour, he cured many that were of their infirmities and plagues and of evil sick spirits, and, you know, unto those that were blind, he gave sight. He just went and healed all this, just to fulfill that scripture in Isaiah, you know, chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and so on. And then, after he did all of that, I mean, that's a strange way to answer, you know, somebody that asks you a simple question, you know. But he said, let the scriptures talk for itself, basically. So he knew that John knew the scriptures, so he went and did those things that would testify of him, you know. And then he turned around in verse 22 and said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see and the lame walk, how that the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear and the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. So go tell him these things. Now, but he didn't stop there. This next verse is the topic, is where the center of my message is today. This next verse in verse 23. I want everybody to look at it. After Jesus said all of that, he said, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Well, that's a strange thing to say. Let's ask him a simple question, you know. But let me take your minds back and let's try to picture what would have happened here. Now, John the Baptist, I mean, he's seen, you know, he's heard and seen miracles of Jesus and so forth, you know, but he's in jail, you know. And I mean, others are getting set free everywhere, and he's not exactly being set free. I mean, we find out that later, actually, you know, he would be killed in that prison. I mean, Jesus didn't rush there to go and set him free and let him escape or anything like that, you know. And did you know that John the Baptist was actually related to Jesus? How many of you know that? Do you know that? When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, you know, Mary went to see her cousin Elizabeth, and the babe lived in her womb. That was John the Baptist. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, was cousin to Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. So they are actually relatives. Can you say praise the Lord? But Jesus didn't rush there. He didn't do anything. He knew he was in prison and so forth like that, you know. And, you know, I mean, John the Baptist already knew who he was. I mean, John is the one that introduced him and said, you know, behold the Lamb of God that cometh into the world and so forth, you know, and the dove came on him and so forth. John knew that, you know, but now he's in prison. Now, we don't know what's going on in his mind, but maybe there's some question in his mind and so forth. I mean, why would you doubt? I mean, you already saw the heavens open up and so forth like that. He baptized the guy, the heavens opened up, the dove lighted upon him. But now, you know, maybe in his human mind, we don't know, you know, I'm just conjecturing. I don't know exactly what happened, but maybe in his human mind, maybe he's thinking this or that and so forth. So he says, you know, well, are you the one? Should we be looking for another? But Jesus, the master, see, he can discern everything, whether you say it or you don't say it. So he added this phrase in here at the end of all of this. Of course, he confirmed to, he heard, you know, he basically had mercy on them. You know, he didn't have to do anything. You know, there are many times the Pharisees would come and say, show us a sign and so on. And Jesus would do nothing. He didn't show them anything. But this time around, he actually showed them signs to prove that who he was. But then he turned around and said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. You know, what does that mean? Well, that means that, you know, sometimes, you know, when the Lord doesn't answer your prayer, when the Lord doesn't do things or things don't come out exactly as you wish, are you going to be offended in the Lord? When the Lord didn't rush to his side,
to save him out of that prison.
You know, there are many of the disciples and so forth. You know, so the Lord saved some of them. Sometimes he didn't save some. We don't know what, you know, what all he has in his will. I mean, James was captured by Herod and beheaded, you know, or killed. And then, you know, I mean, Herod saw that in Acts chapter 12, that that pleased everybody. So he got a hold of Peter as well and wanted to do that. But the Lord delivered Peter. He did not deliver James exactly, you know, and so forth like that. You know, so blessed is the man who is not offended in me. Amen. Now, we know that these scriptures are full of promises about faith. I mean, what faith will do for you. And I love to teach you one that's perhaps, you know, my favorite subject in that whole Bible. Well, maybe next to the mercy of the Lord, you know. And in the book of Matthew 21 and verse 22, and all things that you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Amen. How many of you can say amen to that? Amen. In the book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened of you. I've preached on that before, ASK, you know, and all that. And for everyone, verse 8, listen to this. Matthew 7 and verse 8. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, that's what faith does. You know, and faith, you know, you go into Mark 11. You read from verses 22 to about 25. And you see that if you can believe it, and I preached on this, you know, many people have preached on this. We preached on the oracles, I mean, the principles of the oracles of God. And you can believe it, if you can say it, you know, and you can believe it and not doubt in your heart that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Amen. That's how God put it out there, and we must believe that. And, you know, some years ago, you know, the Lord helped me to understand faith. Well, actually, many, many years ago, you know, I believe the Lord, I was born with it, you know, because from a little child, you know. And, you know, I understood faith and so forth, you know. And then I began to understand that, look, when I stand before the Lord, I must be able to say, Lord, I believed your word. Hallelujah. You know, so, you know, I must do my part. My part is to believe God. Now, providence, that's another thing. You know, God may choose, you know, to overrule. I don't know, but I'm not going, when I pray, I don't think about that. Amen. I've got to think that God is going to do it. Amen. I don't know if he's going to overrule. That's his business. My business is to believe the Lord. And I'm going to believe God that God is going to do what I'm believing God for. You know, so that's what we got to do. And that's faith. And so we've got a spectrum here. Faith is on one side of the spectrum and providence is on the other side of the spectrum. Well, somewhere in between, you know, we begin to move in the direction of faith, begins to move in the direction of providence and begin to trust the Lord. That's why the psalmist says in Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs said in Proverbs chapter 3, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Verse 5. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You know, don't lean to your own understanding, you know, because, you know, sometimes we don't understand what God's doing and so forth. You know, but if you acknowledge him, he shall direct your paths. Amen. Amen. Now, when we're believing God, you know, and I have had success stories and success, and many of us have had that too, on things that we believe God, and I can believe God for anything. You know, so sometimes, but you're believing God for something, you are doing according to the scriptures, you know, then this scripture comes into your face, like, all things whatsoever that you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. You know, and then if you don't receive, well, you can, you know, micro-analyze that and say, well, perhaps I didn't believe, you know, because the scripture says if you believe, you will receive. You know, and people, you know, people have a tendency to say that, you know, when somebody, you know, doesn't get their prayers answered exactly the way they were looking, you know, people have a tendency to, you know, be judgmental and say it's because they don't believe. It's because something was wrong with them, or they're not walking in the light, or whatever, you know. Well, I don't know if that's what the case is, but I can tell you something, that when I pray, I believe God. Amen. I don't know about somebody else. I mean, that's between you and God. But when I pray, I believe God. You know, and then it's up to him. Praise the Lord. So, you know, and then sometimes it's hard for us to really, the Bible says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Sometimes it's hard for us to do that. You know, and then, you know, we deal with these things. And John in his mind, John the Baptist, you know, probably had some questions in his mind and so forth. Maybe, I don't know, maybe questions, maybe resentment, maybe a little bit, you know, sentiment and so forth. Do you know? What would have happened? I mean, suppose that, you know, his parents, Zacchaeus or whatever his name was, and Elizabeth, suppose they were still alive when John was beheaded. You know, suppose the, and I think the other James that was killed was related to Jesus too. I mean, suppose their parents were still alive when their kids were killed. And these were people that were believing God. You know, I mean, what would they do? You know, and John is sitting here. He's kind of related to the Christ, you know. And, you know, he's seen all the miracles and he heard all the things. And he's sitting here. Nobody's coming to his rescue. Jesus didn't even visit him in prison. You know, so we don't know, but maybe something was in his heart. And the Lord brought that out and said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. How many of you can say amen to that? You know, so when things don't go your way, will you be offended in the Lord? Will you take offense? Will you question God? I mean, all the things that happened to Job in the Bible. You know, in one day, calamity, children, everything and everything. Till finally, even his wife and his friends and everybody chided him and, you know, came up against him and so forth. You know, and then finally, he began himself to question God, you know. Because, I mean, there was just so much around him. He took a toll on him. So he started to question God himself. So finally, the Ancient of Days spoke to him. And he said, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me where the Pleiades, where they come and where they go. You know, tell me, what is the name of Orion? How did he get that name? Tell me the measurement of the earth and so forth like that. Tell me, where were you when even the sons of God shouted for joy and all these things and so forth? And, you know, wow. And then Job was speechless, you know. And the Lord had mercy on him nonetheless. But sometimes God will put those things there in the scriptures just for us to see. Amen. Now, I love faith and I believe God for everything and so forth. And we believe that we must believe God, you know. But will you love him and will you trust him with your life? Even if he doesn't answer the prayer that you are believing God for. Hello, folks. Will you? One man said, and this was preached, you know, a couple Sundays ago, you know, Habakkuk, he said, though the fig tree does not blossom, though there be no fruit in the vine and all of these things, the olive fail, the cattle fail, everything fails, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And I will bless the name of my God. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And even Job, he said the same thing. He said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Hallelujah. And I'm waiting for my change. And I know I will see him when my change will come. And though finally he said, you know, there is hope of a tree. Hallelujah. One of my favorite scriptures in that whole Job. Job, you know, 14, he begins to say, you know, there is hope of a tree that though it be cut down and begin to rot in the earth, hallelujah, yet through the scent of water, it shall bud again. Even though the Lord cut me down, he said, I will see him again. I know my Redeemer liveth. And he began to encourage himself. And David also, you know, many times, you know, different things will happen to him and so forth. And the Bible will say, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. And he will say to himself, my soul, why art thou troubled within me? I will yet praise him for the light of his countenance. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, what if things don't go your way? Well, Grandma Olasuba, and let me bring it down to earth now. She's been here with us for many years. She's been suffering with the long thing and so forth, you know. And we've been praying for her, you know. And then, actually one day, you know, a few weeks ago, you know, the elders, the pastors of the church and so forth, we went to the hospital. I mean, she's been in and out of hospital all her, you know, for so many long years here, you know. But she was a fighter. Amen. And this last time, perhaps not so much. And we went there and we prayed, you know, because the Bible says when any man is sick, bring the elders of the church, lay hands and so forth. And we have to do the things like the scripture says. Amen. We went there, we prayed over her and all that and so on. You know, and I'm believing in my heart, with all of my heart, you know, also because, you know, we stood here when we opened this temple. We had a 24, actually it was more than 24 hours, prayer vigil here. And we prayed throughout the whole time and said, Lord God Almighty, we will not lose anyone in this place. And if any of your people shall come into this place and stretch their hands in this place, whatever it is that they are asking you for, hear thou, O God, from heaven. And I've always believed that in my heart. You know, but, you know, what if it doesn't go exactly your way? Well, you know, before you answer that, you know, in Mama's case, it actually wasn't that bad. Praise the Lord. Because she survived by children and grandchildren. Her children are grown all over the world and so forth like that. You know, and when you get to be that age and so forth, you know. Now, when you're fighting in your spirit, when you're sick and you're fighting, you know, if you have something to fight for, you know, then, you know, you can come out of it. But when you begin to say, well, you know, hey, she was really tired and so forth, you know, and, you know, she was done with that. You know, she wanted some rest and so on. And we're praying, we're believing God, we're holding on. And it didn't quite turn out that way. But are we still going to trust God, or are we going to start doubting God, or are we going to be offended in Him? Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Amen. Now, the Lord's providence, He'll call it the way he wants it. You know, but it's our duty and our role to believe God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you a short story here, you know, which may help some of you and all that. You know, and many years ago, you know, my mother, she had been sick all her life, you know, almost. Since I was a little kid, I remember she was one kind of sickness or whatever. But she hung in there and so forth. And every time there was some adversity in the family, she would strengthen herself, you know, and she would become like a superman and superwoman and take care of everything. And then when that was over and whoever was sick was better, and she succumbed into the sickness again. And so it just went on and on. And then many, many years passed by and so forth. And then in the late 90s, just about somewhere in 99 there, and she was really sick. She had been sick for many years. And she was getting really, really awful. And she, you know, and one night I was looking, you know, and I was, you know, I was in a dream. And I was looking, and we're in a house. It seemed like our house, a family house, but it didn't look like it. I didn't recognize it. It was on a balcony, and the balcony had no railings. I'm like, I don't recognize this. And my mom was there. And she fell. She fell off of that thing, and I rushed to go and grab her, and I couldn't get her. I tried to save her, and I couldn't. And I looked to see whether her body was splattered or splashed on the ground. I woke up. I never saw that. You know. I was here in the United States, and I didn't know that my mother was terribly sick. When I woke up, I called. I realized that they've been carrying her from place to place and so forth. And I didn't understand it at first, but later on I understood, you know, that I wasn't going to be able to save her. And I wouldn't be there when she died, because I didn't see it. But anyway, I went home to go and visit her. And she had been in a I can't really say it was a coma, but kind of comatose. She wasn't speaking for weeks. No response, nothing. You know, and I come into that place, I come into that hospital. Somebody mentions my name and she sits up. Amen. And she calls my name. And my dad said, what? I mean, this woman has not spoken for weeks. She has not even responded. You know, so I had a conversation with her and all that. And I said, and she said, look, I'm tired, you know. And she was someone that loved the Lord. And she said, am I not old enough to go? And I said, no. You know, so I said, you know, and I prayed. And I still told the Lord, people lose their mom, but not me. Amen. That's right. That's what I told the Lord. Everybody else may lose their mom, but I don't lose my mom. Now, this is my mom we're talking about here. You know, and that was the first death in my family and all that. You know, I struggled with God. I wrestled with God. In fact, me and the Lord, one time, we put on the same slacks. You know, I had a Yoruba proverb for that. You know, anyway, we wrestled about that, and I wrestled that, and so forth. And when, you know, before I left her in the hospital. I mean, there were times that I really wept. She was really in a bad shape and all that. And I tried everything. I prayed everything, and then she wouldn't come out of it. And she said, no, let me go. You know? And I said, no, I'm not going to let you go. So I left. And I came back to the United States. I was praying about it and so forth. And, I said, I can't lose my mom. So the Lord, he comes to me and he asks me something, you know. And I said, well, you know, that's my mom we're talking about, you know. And he said, you know, you need to move on. You need to let her go. And you need to move on. I said, no, I can't move on. This is my mom. And he said, well, my grace is sufficient for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I wrestled with that for a while and so forth. And, I just couldn't admit and I couldn't accept that. And she couldn't die because I wouldn't release her. And then that night, finally, I said, Lord, and I finally understood what the Lord was trying to tell me. That she's going to a better place. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Hallelujah. Now, there are times when it is more expedient for a minister to stay. In the case of Paul, it was more expedient for him to stay because he hadn't finished his course at that time. But later on, when he finished his course, he boldly announced it. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith. You know, hallelujah. I have kept the faith, finished my course, done my time and so forth. Now I'm ready to be offered up. So, finally when I came to realize that and release my mom into God's hands, you know, I was in Philadelphia at the time on a project and so forth. I remember, you know, that same night, she passed away. And I hung on to her for so long. I wasn't really hanging on to her for her. I was hanging on to her for me, you know. But she was in pain, and she needed to be released. But I couldn't deal with the thought of it. Now, sometimes when people are in pain, grandma was in pain, you know. You know, the scripture says in the book of Hebrews that women had their dead delivered from graves and dead received from the dead and so forth. But some of them would not receive deliverance. They were looking for a better resurrection, whatever that meant. Now, you know, when you come to a point that people just give up, you know, then there's hardly anything, you know. And, you know, after she passed away, we could have stayed there and prayed till kingdom come. She wouldn't be coming back because she was in a better place. Amen. Amen. And if you ask her, would you need to go back right now? The only way she would come back is if she come back with a vibrant body. Healed. No more lungs issues, none of those things and so forth. Perfect body. But to come back into the pain, there was no need for it. She was already in her 80s. Her children already grown and so forth like that, you know, and all that. But I was thinking about that and I said, well, you know, it's easier said than done. And I thought about that during the week and I said, well, the Lord inspired my heart to speak comfortably to the church this morning. Amen. Now, teaching faith is easy. It's easy for me. Second nature to me, actually. I can teach faith all night long. You can wake me up and I'll preach it. But pastoring faith, that's a different thing. I'm pastoring faith here this morning. I'm not teaching faith exactly. Because pastoring faith is when you have to deal with the situations, the real life situations that you deal with when people's prayers don't turn out the way they felt like or the way they wanted. Now, if you're a traveling evangelist, you can take your Bible and go preach somewhere and just preach to everybody faith and so forth, and you go home. Yeah, it's wonderful. Miracles everywhere. But when you leave, the pastor is going to have to deal with whatever. You know, so teaching faith is one thing. We can teach faith all day long, and we do that. But pastoring faith, that means dealing with the situation, real life situations, when things don't turn out like we thought it should. What are we going to do with that? Well, blessed is the man whosoever is not offended in me. Can you say amen? That's what we're going to do, and that's my message to the church this morning. Don't be offended in the Lord just because things didn't turn out the way that you thought they would. Well, for the most part, most things turned out to your benefit anyway. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when we lose an aged grandmother and so forth, you know, who was struggling with her lungs and all of that, you know, and so forth. You know, it's always some time to mourn, but, you know, she's in a better place. And so we move on. Amen. And I know the church, many people in the church heard about that, you know, and this was his first service since that happened. So I felt, well, you know, I should take a little time and speak to the church, you know, put aside whatever else I was going to teach this morning. Take a little time, speak to the church. Praise the Lord. Now, so when you're faced with situations, what are you going to do? Well, what you must do is you must believe the word of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But God gave us adversity and he gave us joy and rejoicing. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14, in the day of prosperity and the day of blessing and in the day when things are good, rejoice. Amen. But in the day of adversity, consider. And I want everybody to listen to, try to listen to this message on our website. It's called Overcoming Adversity, Sunday, December 14, 2008. We preached on how to overcome adversity in that message. I'm not going to go into all of that today. You should also listen to this one. It's a good one. I brought this for reference. You should listen to this one on July 25, 2010. It's called Providence, Faith, and Mercy. But that was preached in a little bit different direction than this one. Today, the direction of this message is, blessed is the man whomsoever shall not be offended in me. When you're praying and believing God for stuff, if those things come to pass as you believe, well, blessed be the name of the Lord. And if they don't come to pass as you believe, well, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen, somebody. Amen. Do you understand that message? Yes. In everything, we give thanks. In everything. Whichever way it goes, whether it's good or bad or whatever it is. Job finally said, right from the beginning when they came with all this news and so forth, every time they come to him with the bombardment of news and bad news and so forth, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, I don't know if it was the Lord that took, but that's what he thought. But he blessed the Lord anyhow. Well, sometimes it's the devil that does these things. But the Lord may not always intervene. Amen. Amen, somebody. Now, just to make sure I leave no doubt, I'm going to close with some few statements here. We don't want to leave any doubt or suggest that when you pray, you say, if the Lord heals me, fine. If the Lord doesn't, that kind of prayer, you are not going to get healed. Don't even pray. Amen. You know, that's not what, I'm not preaching about that at all today. And you know how, you know my way of life and so forth. You know, We're saying that you must take a hold of God. Wrestle with God. And believe the Lord. And stand on his word. And don't give an inch. Can you say amen? You must do all of that. And having done all, you must stand in the faith. I mean, don't let, you know, just because one person died over here and so forth, another person died over here, you know, don't let the things which you have believed slip. Amen. Because we believe that those of us who are alive and remain. Well, remain is the key word there. Are you going to remain in this point of faith? When Jesus comes, shall he find you at the point of faith? You know, those of us who are alive and remain shall not prevent them that are falling asleep. Amen. But together with my dead body, the Bible says, you shall also live. Amen. And as much as Jesus was raised from the grave, we also will be raised incorruptible. Amen. Jesus said, I will lose none of them, but I will raise them up at the last day. All that the Father has given me, they shall come unto me. And my Father who gave them to me is greater than all. And I will lose none of them. Now, either by the rapture or translation or otherwise, he will get them all. Amen. He will lose none of them. Give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Jesus will lose none of them. Take a look at Revelation chapter 7. As far as the eye could see, John looked and said, who are these that are arrayed in white linen? He said, well, I don't know. He said, well, these are they that came out of great tribulation and have made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb, and they shall hunger no more. They shall thirst no more. And the Lamb is going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, whether they come out of great tribulation or whatever, they are more in number than could be numbered. Amen. They were like the sands of the sea. And even the enemy, their devil can never have as much people as the Lord. Amen. The Lord always has more. Amen. Even the devil, he could only get one third of the angels. The God always has more. Praise the Lord. I mean, people would like to, give devil glory. I don't care the devil. Amen. He's going to go down to hell. Amen. And we're going to get the people of God ready, and we are going in the translation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, death is not the only way to go, folks. I mean, older people and so forth, yeah, people who are in their 80s or more and so forth like that. But that's not for young folks. Amen. You know, praise the Lord. You know, it is needful for you to be here and finish your own course. And by the grace of God, we will stay and we will finish our course. We will keep the faith. We will fight the good fight. Amen. And when it is time, hallelujah, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God and he was translated by faith. And Elijah, he went in the chariots of fire. Amen. Praise the Lord. God left him those two witnesses just in case somebody say, well, you know, since the father slept and so forth like that. Well, no. God is able to bring everybody again. And those of us who are alive, he's able to keep us by the power of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Hallelujah. If you understand that, give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed is he. Whosoever shall not be offended in me. Amen. When calamity strikes, by the grace of God, if you listen to that message, overcoming adversity, it will show you how you can avoid most adversities. And we can avoid most of it by staying under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my rock and my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my hiding place. In him will I trust. He shall cover me with his feathers. And under his wings I will trust. Surely, 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 he said, he will keep you from the evil. He will even give his angels charge over you. I mean, we must believe these things, and we must continue to believe these things every day. He will give his angels charge over you folks to keep you in all your ways. Not some of your ways, but all your ways. Amen. Amen. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. Little flock, be of good cheer. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And the kingdom, when he has gone and received it unto himself, he will come. Hallelujah. Spiritually, he will receive it unto himself, and then he will come and physically receive it unto himself again. And when I have gone and built a place and it's ready, let not your heart be troubled. I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. Lift up your hands and let's pray. Father, Lord, we love you here this morning. You said, speak comfortably to my people here this morning. And we have spoken your word. And we pray for everyone that is here, Lord. If there's anyone in any one of us that has doubted you, that has questioned you, that has been offended in you because things didn't go our way, of any of the things that we've prayed about, Father, we confess it before you today in Jesus' name. Forgive us, Lord. We will not question the Lord because you are sovereign. And you are the Lord. And providence is your name. Hallelujah. Today, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for those who have departed. But we thank you more so for those of us who are alive and remain. Let us celebrate life, folks. Let's not dwell on, you know, whatever. But let's celebrate goodness and life in the land of the living. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says, I have come that ye might have life. And that more abundantly. Father, we thank you, Lord, for that abundant life. We give you the praise and give you the glory. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man whomsoever shall not be offended in me. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. And amen.